And we read in Genesis chapter 40, in verse 14, this is after Joseph had given the butler the good news that he would be imputed righteous and restored by Pharaoh. Then Joseph said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Declare my name, remember me, and declare my name, declare my righteousness, that I might be exalted." Verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." He forgot him. 2 full years went by that he forgot Joseph. And then we read over in verse 9 of chapter 41. A word came through Pharaoh. And Pharaoh couldn't interpret this word. And then we read in verse 9, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember." Now I remember. I remember. What's going on here with Joseph and what's happening with this butler? Our subject this morning is Joseph forgotten and remembered. Joseph forgotten and remembered. Now what's going on here with Joseph? Well, we read there in Psalm 105. And the Lord said there in Psalm 105 that until the time that his word came, Joseph had the word of the Lord. He knew the word of the Lord. The Lord is going to exalt Joseph. But until his word came, that same word, the word of the Lord, tried him. The word of the Lord tried him. That's what we see here. Now, brethren, we're absolutely dependent upon the word of God. Absolutely dependent upon the word of God. We're born again by the Word of God. We're given the promise of God's salvation by the Word of God. We're kept by the Word of God. We're preserved by the Word of God. And we'll be brought into glory by the Word of God. We're absolutely dependent on the Word of God. And until that Word comes, we will be tried by the Word of the Lord. Be tried by the Word of the Lord. You know what a try means? It means to be tested, to be proven, to be assayed. It's tried. It's a trial. It's a test. We will be tested by the Word of the Lord. So we're totally dependent on the Word of the Lord. Now, when we speak about the Word of the Lord, I'm talking about Christ the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By him was all things created that were created. He upholds all things. He's the life of all men. This is the word we're talking about. The word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the word. That's the word. We're dependent upon Christ the word, speaking his word effectually in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel, giving us an understanding of his written word. We're dependent upon Christ the Word moving all providence by his word. All powers his in heaven and earth. And we're dependent on him to move everything. To move the enemy's heart where he will, and to move our heart where he will. And to move all providence where he will. We're dependent on Christ the Word. Utterly dependent upon him. Now I want to show you something that was happening to Joseph. We see a picture of Christ in Joseph. You remember in the beginning, Joseph was given a word from God that God was going to exalt Joseph and his brethren were going to bow to him. It was given to him in a dream, but we know from that time that was the word of God. That was God speaking. That's how he spoke in that time in different ways. But he spoke to him and he gave him the word that he's going to be exalted. God's going to exalt him. That was the word that would come to pass by God. And we're told, but until that word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. Well, Christ was given a word in eternity. Christ the Word was given a word, a covenant word, that when he finished the work of redemption, of redeeming his people, God the Father would exalt him. After he had exalted God, glorified God, declared God just and the justifier of everyone that believes, then God also would highly exalt him. Give him a name above every name, and at his name every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord of lords and King of kings. But until that word came to pass, that word of the Lord tried our Lord. He tried our Lord. Joseph. It tried Joseph. How did it try Joseph? Remember, he went into the field where his brethren were. He went to that field and he declared that word. He declared the word of the Lord that the Lord had given him, the promise that the Lord had said. He declared it to his brethren. But they weren't excited about it like Joseph was. They didn't rejoice in it like Joseph did. They didn't see any good news in them bowing to Joseph. That was good news for them. That was how they're going to be saved from the famine. But they didn't see it that way, and you and I don't see it that way at first either. And when Christ came into this world, it says Christ came unto his own, but his own received him not. Why? Because Christ came preaching that word. He came preaching the word God made with him. He came preaching that he's going to be exalted to the right hand of the Father, and every knee's going to bow and confess that he's Lord. But that wasn't good news to us. Because we didn't see that's how we're going to be saved from the famine. So you see how that very word that God promised our Savior that would come to pass when he had finished redeeming his people, by that very word, our Lord was tried when he walked this earth. Because he preached it. Well, did the Lord turn from preaching that word? Did he cease preaching that word of God? And say, well, maybe I can water the word down and I can get men to come to me that way. No. He believed the word of God. He said he passed the test. He was tried and he passed the test. He's faithful. He said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. I trust my Father. No man can come to me except my Father which is in heaven draw him. I trust he'll draw them all to me. Well, brethren, we've been given this word. We've been born of God by the word of God, by the incorruptible seed, and God's made with us an everlasting covenant. He's promised that we have been saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved in Christ. We're going to be exalted to the right to God's right hand in Christ. We are, and we're going to be exalted in glory, and it's going to be by Christ. And we go forth now declaring this word. But until that comes to pass, it's by this very word we preach that we're going to keep being tried. We're going to be tested by this very word. Men are going to reject us. We're going to be despised and rejected. We're going to pass the test. What are we going to do? Are we going to stop preaching the truth and tone the word down? Are we going to believe God that all the Father has chosen and given to Christ are going to come to Christ? He's going to draw them. We're going to believe God and just keep preaching this word. That's how you pass the test. We won't do it but by his grace, but that's how you pass the test. Well, then, we saw this. Joseph's life in Egypt, in Potiphar's house. He was faithful, but he was tempted in Potiphar's house. He was greatly tempted in Potiphar's house and then falsely accused. Well, did Joseph believe God? Did he believe God's word? That God was going to exalt him when he was being accused and then falsely accused and then he was thrown into prison. It sure didn't look like God's word was coming to pass, did it? Not to Joseph. It didn't look like when they put his feet in fetters, it didn't look like God's word was coming to pass. So is he going to believe God's word or is he going to turn now and say, well, let me make a deal with you, fella. Let me plea bargain. Let me do something to get out of these chains. Did he defend himself? No, he kept his mouth shut. He kept his mouth shut because he believed the word of God. He believed God was sovereign. He believed God would bring his word to pass. He believed God would make good on his word. He trusted God. So when he was tried by that very word, whether he would believe God's word or he would lean on the arm of the flesh, he believed God's word. Well, look to Christ. Christ walked through this earth. He was faithful. He served God as he walked this earth. and our Savior was falsely accused. Men brought up charges against him that were just false. There was no sin in him. It was all false. And he knows God's going to exalt him. But it was through a cross. And he had to go through that cross. He had to go through that most severest of trials. And so Christ, does he believe God when it looks like he's being crucified and he's going down and he's going to die? Does he believe God that God's going to raise him up? Or does he turn to his own hand and defend himself and try to save himself? No, he believed the Word of God. You see, until that word came to pass, he was tried by that word. But he believed God. And he opened not his mouth. He went to the cross. Well, at last, then we come to this. Joseph's cast into prison, and he's there with that butler and that baker. And what a picture. We see Christ on the cross. There he is, hanging between the two thieves. One of them God's going to have mercy on, and one of them God's going to pour judgment out on. Well, Joseph's there between these two, the butler and the baker, and Joseph's given this word to give to the butler, and it's good news. It's such good news. He tells him there that the Lord, that Pharaoh is going to impute righteousness to him. He's going to restore him to his former place. And Joseph says one thing, but remember me. When you go that place, remember me. Make mention of me. Make mention of my righteousness that I might be brought out of this place. Could God let that happen? Mm-mm. If God would have brought that to pass, if he'd allowed that to happen, if Joseph said to the butler, now you go and say to Pharaoh, and if Pharaoh comes up, if it had been done that way, God didn't have anything to do with it. It would have been Joseph found a way to get himself out. And he can't do that. Can't do that. He can't be brought out but except by God. You got to trust God. You got to believe God. So he's there. He's there for 2 full years. Well, in those 2 full years, is he going to forget God's word? It doesn't look like God's going to exalt him, does it? There's that word he has from God, but before it comes to pass, he's being tried by that word. Is God going to raise him up? Is God really going to make good on that word? I'm here in this trial. I'm here in darkness. I'm alone. I'm by myself. There's not anybody to help me. Is God going to make good on that word? By God's grace, he continued to say, cease from trusting man. Don't trust man. By God's grace, Joseph kept saying, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Well, now look to Christ. In a worse way, in a way that's just incomparable, our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. And on Calvary's tree, he was made sin for his people. He was made a curse for his people. He was made to bear the justice of God in the place of his people. Joseph was left there for 2 full years. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered eternity in 3 full hours on the cross. And that justice, that wrath, that punishment for the sin of his people was being forsaken of God. Being forsaken of God. And there he was alone on the cross in total darkness. The picture we have before us is of Joseph in a dungeon in total darkness, totally alone. Christ hung on the cross in total darkness all alone. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung there, he was being tried by that word. By the very word, the very promise of God, he was being tried by it. Do you know what our Savior said? Our Savior said in Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. Why? for the Lord God will help me. How did he know that? He had the Word of God. He had God's Word. And he said, I know the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I won't be ashamed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know I shall not be ashamed. He had what you have. He had the Word of God. That's what we have. Now, believer, we've got God's everlasting covenant promise. And do you remember what that covenant is? Do you know what the Word is? The gospel, the Word, the covenant is Christ. He said in Isaiah 49, I'll give thee for a covenant to the people. Christ is the everlasting covenant. He said, this is my blood. This is the New Testament in my blood, he said. Christ is the new covenant. He's the everlasting covenant. In him, all the laws fulfilled, all the promises of God that God's made to us are yes and amen. They're sure and they're certain so that all God's seed shall be saved. Because it's all yes and it's all amen in Christ. But until the time of his word, till that time his word comes to pass, while we're in this life, we're going to be tried by that very word. It's not more than what Christ suffered. And is the servant greater than his Lord? If Christ was tried this way, shall not we be tried this way? Sure we will. It's for our good. You know what it's teaching us? It's teaching us never trust you and never trust man at all. Don't trust the flesh. There's one to trust, the Lord. The Word, Christ the Word. Trust him. Trust him. But here's the sad case. Very often, most often, you know who we see ourselves in and all the people in this story right here? The butler. The butler. Joseph gave him some good news. Boy, can you just picture, think about if you were in that prison. And Pharaoh's the most powerful man in the world. Pharaoh just gives the sign and your head's coming off. And there this butler is in prison. And he went from being the chief to being the least. And there he is. And Joseph reveals to him, the butler's going to count you righteous. And the butler's going, Pharaoh's going to count you righteous, and Pharaoh's going to restore you, and you're going to come to him with that cup just like you did before, and you're going to have the glory you had with Pharaoh before. Man, can you imagine how happy the butler must have felt? Can you just imagine that? I'm going to be free. I'm not going to die. I'm going to be free. And then to add to the joy, to add to the amazement of it, he heard Joseph sit there and tell that other fellow, the baker, but he's going to pour judgment out on you, and you're going to die. I'm going to live, and this other man's going to die. Oh, how his heart must have been so full and so excited and so overjoyed. I'm going to live. And then we read these words. Joseph said, just remember me when you get there and just speak of me. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. How often is it, brethren? How often is it we get the good news? We hear the good news. Christ reveals the good news to us. We hear the gospel preached. And we go out thinking, I'm going to remember him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be diligent. I'm after what he's done for me. But we get promoted. We get back to the palace. And honor's put into our hand and all of these things. And next thing you know, we've forgotten him. We've forgotten him. How are we going to be saved? How are we going to be saved? That same word. That same word. That word's going to bring it to pass, and that word's going to try us. And we failed that test. We see in the butler here, he was tried by the word, but he failed the test, didn't he? How's he going to be recovered? That same word. Now, let's look at this. First of all, it's the word of the Lord that troubles us and turns us. The word of the Lord. Christ is going to send the word. He's going to trouble. When you don't remember him, if you're his, this is certain. He's going to send the word and he's going to trouble you. He's going to wake you up and he's going to trouble your spirit. And you're not going to be able to get free from it. You can try whatever you want to get away from it. You're not getting away from it. Now look, verse 1, Genesis 41:1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Now you remember this now. God's not speaking to us in dreams today. He's speaking to us today by Christ his Son. He's speaking to us by the Word, by the gospel we preach, by the written Word of God. He's speaking to us by the Word. That's what he spoke in time past in different manners, the scripture. They didn't have the gospel. They didn't have the scriptures yet. They weren't. Moses' books hadn't even been written during this time. And God would speak through dreams. And that's what we have here, is a God's word coming through a dream. You see, he wouldn't allow that butler to go back and by his word and by Joseph's word free Joseph. But he's going to free Joseph, but he's going to do it by God's word. So God puts a word into the heart of this Pharaoh. He puts a word into the heart of this Pharaoh. And look what Joseph said about it down in verse 25. This is to show you that this is the word of God. He said concerning that dream, God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. You see, that's God speaking in this dream. So we got the word here. The word of God came to Pharaoh. Now the word is the word that's going to always wake us up. Now look at verse 4. It says he dreamed this dream, and it says, and Pharaoh awoke. He awoke. Now that's what's going to happen when God sends the word. It's going to wake us up. His child of God has got to be awakened. We slumber, we sleep in our so-called fatness because we think we've got it made, and really that's a famine when we forget Christ. So he got to wake us up first. And then it says, verse 5, and he slept. He went back to sleep. Isn't that us? We get awakened by God, and then the next thing you know, we're trying to go back to sleep again. Trying to get back in, occupying our mind with... And that's mostly what everything is in our world, is just trying to occupy our mind with stuff. Trying to dream. Trying to go back to sleep. But it says here, he dreamed a second time. God's going to make you hear his word. If he's going to speak to you and preach to you and teach you the gospel, you're going to get it. And he's not going to let you go till you get it. That's certain. That's dead certain. Now look at verse 7. It says there at the end. Let me get to it. It says, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And verse 8 says, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. You see what God's done here? God's awoke him. God wouldn't let him go back to sleep. He woke him back up, and he's troubled him now in his spirit. Now that's where you're going to have to be brought. You're going to have to be brought to be awakened, to be troubled in spirit. And that's what God does through his word. I can tell you this now. It doesn't do me and you any good to try to make this happen faster. It doesn't do any good to me and you try to make this happen effectually. It doesn't do any good for me and you to think that we can speak the word in such a way that we can get these results ourselves. God's going to do it in his time. 2 years passed before God did this. And God's going to do it in his time, not our time. And he's going to do it effectually by his word, not by our word. You may be the vessel used to speak, but he's going to do it when you don't even know he's speaking to his child. That's right. Now watch this. He does this work by the word, and God forces his child to seek Christ only. When he does this, when he troubles you, he's going to force you to seek Christ only. Now that's not who we seek first, but he's going to make you seek Christ. Look at who Pharaoh sought first, verse 8. It says there in verse 8, he was troubled, and it says, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. These magicians, they're often false preachers and false teachers in Scripture, often called magicians, sorcerers, soothsayers, those that mutter and peep, and these so-called wise men of the world. That's who, you know, we think, that's who we need to go to. And, you know, somebody will be, they'll be troubled and they'll be awakened and their spirit will be troubled. And first thing they'll do is, I got to call the preacher. You know, I'd love to be able to help you, but I ain't the one you need to go to. I'm not calling myself a pope, and I'm not wearing that funny hat and walking around trying to put myself between you and God. You need to go to Christ is who you need to go to. You need to go to Christ. He went to these magicians. He went to these wise men. And it says, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that he could interpret them unto Pharaoh. No man can reveal the gospel in your heart. No sinner can reveal the gospel in another sinner's heart. None could interpret it. Remember what we've been seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? It says, none of the princes of this world, none of the wise men of this world, none of the magicians of this world knew the hidden wisdom, Christ the hidden wisdom, because if they had known him, they wouldn't have crucified him. But God hath revealed. God, by divine revelation, God hath revealed his hidden wisdom, his gospel, his Christ. He's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. That's what he's done. He's made us to know the gospel by his Spirit. And he's the only one can do it. The only one that can do it. So first we see here it's by God's word. And we see God's going to wake his child up. He's going to trouble the spirit of his child. And if his child goes and seeks some kind of interpretation or some kind of guidance somewhere else in the world, he's going to bring that to an end. He's going to have his child come to Christ. All right, secondly, when we forget the Lord, we failed the test. We've been tried by the Word and we failed it. Child of God, how are we going to be brought to Christ? How are we going to be brought to see our faults? Well, by the Word, the Lord brings his child to remember. He brings us to remember. Now, verse 9. This word comes to the butler. This dream comes to the butler. Pharaoh delivers it down to him. He hears that none of these men can interpret it. And verse 9 says, Then. That's such an important word. Then. It was then. It was when the Word of God came. It was when the Spirit of God troubled us. It was when the soul was awakened. It's when no man could interpret the Word of God. When God gave us a need, then, what did we do? We began to cry to God. We began to cry to God. Look at the picture here, verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh, here's a picture of God the Father. Then the butler spoke to Pharaoh. That's when you're troubled. You're woke, you're troubled, no man can interpret, you see your need now. That's when you're going to be brought to start speaking to God, and truly speaking to God. When God's drawn you to speak to God, that's when you'll speak to God. We heard Brother Eric this morning talking about prayer, and that those things were so good he brought out about prayer. And I'll add this, you ain't going to pray till God makes you pray. That's right. That's when you're going to pray. Now, look, watch this. Look at Psalm 51. I'll show you that. Psalm 51. This is a man. Psalm 51 is a man that's been brought to repentance. This is like this. What's happening in type. It's like what's happening to this butler. But David here was really brought to repentance. He was really over his sin. He was confessing to God now. He came to God and was talking. And listen to what he says in verse 14. He says, deliver me, O God, from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation. If you deliver me, then my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. When's your tongue going to have the praise of God put on it? When God's done something for you. Look down at verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. That's when we're gonna come to God and speak to God. When God's opened our lips and put the word on our lips. Here's why. because he doesn't desire sacrifice from you. Most of our prayers are sacrifices. Well, I need to do this. God's not going to be pleased if I don't pray to him. Those deceitful hearts of our deceitful flesh. Most of our prayers are sacrifice, and God don't desire sacrifice. But I tell you, when we pray, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's when you pray, when God has broken your heart. When God's broken your heart to where you don't even know the words to pray. You might not even have words to pray. You just, in your heart, you're being drawn to God and yearning for God and poured out to God, and you may not be even speaking any audible words or any words anybody can understand. It's just a heart thing, and God's drawing that prayer out of you. And that's true then. That's true then. And then look at this back in our text now, Genesis 41. When God's word searches our heart, that's when we're going to be brought to confess our sin. Look at verse 9. It says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. That's the first thing we got to remember is our faults, our sins. I remember my sins now. Now look at this. What was it he remembered? Verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We got to be brought to remember when we were made to behold God's wrath, when we were made to see the strict justice of God, when we were made to see that if God gave us what we deserve, we'd be cast into hell like that. We have to be brought to see this over and over again. Do your sins bother you? Do your sins plague you? Do you mourn over your sins and come to a place often where the Lord brings you to where you just wish you could be done with your sin because it's against God and God only? God has to bring us there, and he brings his child there. He brings his child to mourn our sin. I remember my faults. I saw the wrath of God. And I had this vision. I had this dream, he said. I remember when I first heard the gospel. You remember the dream the butler had? The butler saw this cluster of grapes, and he saw those grapes pressed, and he saw the juice of that grape poured out in a cup, and that cup carried to Pharaoh. You know, when I first heard the gospel, you know what I heard? I heard it like I imagined that butler was interpreting that dream by his own wisdom. When I first heard the gospel preached, I heard it as, God's going to crush me. I'm the one that's going to be crushed because I'm the sinner. My blood's going to be poured out. I'm going to be put under the wrath of God because I'm a sinner. But Christ came. Christ came. The Word came. Look at this. And by his word, he makes us to remember what Christ has done for us. Look at verse 12. He says, and I saw all this, and there was a young man, a Hebrew. This was a Jew who came to me, a servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams. To each man according to his dreams, he did interpret it. We saw it last time in chapter 40. Joseph came to them. And that's what happens when he's brought to this place where you see God's wrath and you see that's all you deserve is God's wrath and that you deserve to be thrown into hell, into God's eternal punishment. And Christ comes to you and he says, why do you look so sad? And he draws out of you that confession, I'm a sinner, that's why. And he makes you to know the interpretation of this gospel. He makes you to know it's not you that's going to be crushed under this load. No, God given me a people and I've taken their place, and it's me that's crushed under the load of God's hand. And it's my blood that's spilled out on Calvary's tree. And I'm the one who goes into the presence of God with the cup, and I'm the one who gives the cup to God's hand, and I'm the one that he imputes righteous, and I'm the one that he restores to the glory I had with the Father before the world was. And because he's done this for me, he's going to do it for you. That's what God makes us to know in our heart. He does it by the word. By the word. This is how we're brought back and brought to remember. Brought to remember. And he makes us know this too. He makes us to remember God's grace, his distinguishing grace. Look at verse 13. It came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. You remember when God called you by his grace? Do you remember that he made you to hear the gospel, made you to delight in the gospel? And you thought, I can remember thinking, everybody's going to delight in this. And I go to a family member, a loved one, and tell them this. They didn't delight in it. In fact, they hated it. Went and told it to a friend. No delight, only enmity. And he made you to see God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. And God hardens whom he will. And he made you remember his distinguishing mercy, his distinguishing grace. You see, this is all the things about this gospel. This is what makes God God. God will have mercy on whom God will have mercy. He can because he's God. God sends his son because his son will be his salvation. He can because he's God. God will be the one who gets all the glory and all the praise because he's the substitute. He can do that because he's God. When a substitute batter stands in, a designated batter stands in, and he bats in place of another fella, and the other fella sits on the bench. The other fella don't pick up the bat. He don't swing the bat. He don't make the hit. He don't round the bases. He's just sitting over there on the bench. Who gets the glory? The substitute. The designated batter. And he's going to get the glory. Christ's going to get the glory because he's the one that came and did. God can do this. This makes him God to save how he will, whom he will. And then at last, when God has brought us to remember Christ, he's brought us, he woke us up, he troubled our spirit, he brought us to Christ because we couldn't get a revelation anywhere else. He brought us to confess our sin, he brought us to remember the wrath of God and to remember his great mercy in Christ. He brought us to remember this distinguishing mercy he had upon you. Then he brings us into communion with Christ. He brings us back into communion with Christ. Look at verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called. What's a call? That's a word. Pharaoh sent, and by his word he called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Christ was tried by the word of God's promise. Christ was despised and rejected of men. God allowed wicked men to take him and crucify him and nail him to a tree and the powers of darkness. His lifeless body was put in a tomb. But he declared God just. He satisfied the justice of God. He declared that it's God who is the justifier of all who believe. He gets all the glory. There's no boasting then. It's excluded. And that's what he declared. So he's the righteousness of God. And so death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. God was satisfied, and God sent and called and said, bring him forth, and he came out. He came out with a change of raiment. Remember, they went to that tomb and looked in there, and there was those clothes he had on when they put him in there. There they sat, folded up. He wasn't in a hurry. He folded them up, set them there, and walked out. Change of raiment. A glorified body. He ascended with a glorified body. The God-man glorified, seated at God's right hand. With all power over all. So you know who works this work right here? You know who it is that's working this work when we forget God? It's Christ the Word. It's Christ the Word. And when he's brought us to himself, and he's brought us to his feet, and he's brought us to see our sin and confess our sin and remember him, hastily, God says, come, bring him forth. And Christ goes into the Father with his child. And we got communion with God again. And the heart's opened up and you rejoice and you say, Lord, how could I ever forget you? How could I ever forget you? And he says, "Now, you go forth, you remember me. You go forth and you make mention of me. You exalt me, my righteousness." And we go forth. For a little while, we make mention of him. We rejoice in him. We exalt him. But what happens? We forget him. But if we're his, he won't ever stop doing this word. And you know what he's doing all along? Till he brings that word to pass where he raises us with Christ into eternal glory forever, he's going to try us by this word. And by every one of these trials, he's continually showing you, don't trust you. Don't trust you. Trust the word of God. Just trust the word of God only. Amen.